Was Jesus born on December the 25th? Most likely not. Most likely not. That is a date that's been set aside for many to observe the fact and celebrate the fact that he was born into the world. And there are many trappings that have been attached to Christmas through the centuries. And in fact, if you do some research, you'll find that some of those traditions and so forth may have roots in paganism. And if that's what you want to focus on, feel free to do so. But that's not what I choose to focus on. I choose to focus on what it means to be together with your family. I choose to focus on the joy of giving. And I want to emphasize to my family that particular joy, not of receiving, but of giving. And my personal philosophy, as I stand before you preaching this morning, is that if people are even thinking remotely about Jesus, even during Christmas, I want to talk about him. And I want to make sure people understand why Jesus came into the world. The greatest event in human history, was when Jesus was born into the world. And the reason for that is, as Hebrews 2:17 teaches us, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It's the greatest event in human history because God became a man and dwelt among us and lived among us, experienced life as we experience it, and knows our struggles and our deepest struggle with sin. But it's then that baby grew to be a man and then began to teach about the will of God and then went to the cross on our behalf to pay the price so that we might be redeemed from sin. We make a mistake if we focus on the baby Jesus exclusively. That baby was born to die. But in his death, he purchased our salvation. That's the reason he came. Again, it's the greatest event in human history when God became man. But there are many who missed the blessing of Jesus. I want to ask you, if you will, to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I want to read a passage just previous to the one that Bob read for us earlier. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. No room in the inn. McGarvey and Pendleton, in their fourfold gospel, their commentary on the gospel accounts, point out that Eastern inns such as in Jesus' day, had their landlords like our own. And the inn was full at this time, no doubt because of the number who had come to be enrolled and had come to Bethlehem for that purpose. And so when Joseph and Mary sought for a place to stay, there was no room in the inn. Inns contained rooms for people and stalls for animals. And there was no room in the former. But as McGarvey and Pendleton state, there was in the latter. And so Jesus was born in a manger. I want you to think about the fact that the coming of Jesus into the world was the greatest event in human history, but how many missed the blessing of Christ. And the first one I want to highlight is the innkeeper. The one who perhaps he could have made arrangements for Mary, who was had to be large with child, and could have made extra effort, it seems, to provide a place for her to stay. But the innkeeper missed the blessing. He missed the opportunity to be the very first one to welcome the King of Kings into the world. Perhaps it was because of ignorant preoccupation. Perhaps it's because he was so busy with all this influx of people into Bethlehem on this occasion, and his inn was full, and he was so busy taking care of them that when this man and woman who was expecting came, he says, "I've got no room for you," and turned them away. But folks, many today miss the blessing of Christ for the same reason, because they're ignorantly preoccupied. Let me give you some examples of that. Some of you have cats at home. I want to tell you about a woman who wrote about her cat. "Years ago, I had a kitten that I loved. It was so much fun to watch her. When we would throw a candy wrapper across the room, she would go and get it and bring it back to us. The game could go on all evening long." And Judy Miller writes, "I have an anniversary clock on which the sun shines at times during the day. And when the sun shines on the turning parts, it reflects lights on the wall and on the floor, going back and forth for hours. It wasn't long until Kitty saw that and would chase those lights back and forth for hours. If they were too high for her to attempt catching, she would jump at them on the wall. I loved watching her doing that." But then Judy Miller makes the application. You know, she'd go after those lights and try to catch them and would miss them every time. And the question is, are we following the right light? Jesus is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." But there are a lot of lights in the world. And many are chasing after those bright lights and thinking that if I can just catch it, then I can have that happiness and that meaning and fulfillment that I'm longing for. And so they're just like that kitten going back and forth and occupying themselves with chasing after those lights, missing the light of the world. Here's another example. Jimmy Brown talks about the time that he and his family, during a visit to Cape Cod, took a 40-minute ferry ride out to see Martha's Vineyard Island. And he writes, "Let me tell you, what a spectacular view. Shoreland in brilliant fall colors, sailboats gliding across the water, lighthouses dotting the beach, seagulls floating effortlessly through the salty air. In a word," he says, it was picturesque. "My wife and I just took it all in and enjoyed the moment. And even though it was a beautiful sight to behold," he says, "guess what my four-year-old boy, Jacob, was doing? While we were oohing and aahing over the sailboats and lighthouses and rainbow of colors, our four-year-old spent much of the trip playing with an old rusty latch on one of the benches located on our deck. Over and over, we'd say things like, 'Oh, Jacob, look at the pretty lighthouse. Jacob, do you see the beautiful trees? Jacob, look at the sailboats.' And he'd look up for a moment and then go right back to playing with that old rusty latch." Jimmy Brown writes, "I wonder how often we are preoccupied with the rusty latches of this world and fail to see the wonders of Jesus." You see, many miss the blessing of Christ. We can miss the blessing of Christ because we're preoccupied with rusty latches or chasing after lights. I read about a head coach a few years ago, divorced his wife of 26 years. When he left a career of college coaching and went to the NFL. He said he needed a wife while he was coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he'd be looking out for their sons. But he said, you know, in the professional league, I don't have to have that anymore. So she was an unnecessary accessory and a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority. And his two sons were second. How tragic. You contrast that coach with a statement made by Tom Landry, whom many of you will remember coached the Dallas Cowboys for a number of years. He said, "The thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place. He expects me to use it to His glory in everything I do, whether coaching football or talking to the press. I'm always a Christian. Christ is first, family second, and football third." He had the proper focus. Amen? But so many miss out on the blessing of Christ because, like that innkeeper, they're ignorantly preoccupied, making a living, yet never understanding the real meaning of life. Focusing on the things of this world with no thought for the next. But there's another group that missed the blessing of Jesus, and I want to highlight the reason that they did. It goes back to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It was the command of the Romans that Joseph and Mary were at the city of Bethlehem when Jesus was born. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Many believe this was a precursor to taxes being assessed. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant of David. So it was by order of the Romans that Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem and Jesus is born. Yet most of the Romans never saw Jesus for who he was. Most of them missed the blessing of Jesus. Why? Because they were idolaters, for the most part. They worshiped pagan gods. They worshiped even the Caesars or the emperors. Did some research about Roman religion during the first century. It was split in two. Privately, families and households worshiped specific individual spirits. Publicly, the Roman state honored many gods, all of which were believed to have human characteristics. Because the Roman Empire was so vast, there was a lot of influences, even in its religion. And so from a variety of cultures, these merged together. And as a result, we find that the Roman gods were a blend of deities with close similarities to the gods worshipped by the ancient Greeks. There were three big ones, according to the Romans: Jupiter, protector of the state; Juno, protector of women; and Minerva, goddess of craft and wisdom. There were also others like Mars, the god of war; Mercury, god of trade and messenger of the gods; and Bacchus, the god of grapes and wine production. 12 prominent public deities, false gods that they worshipped. And it was during this time that the true revelation from the one true living God, Jesus Christ, His Son, was born into the world and lived and died. Yet most of the Romans never saw Him and never knew Him as the one true living God. But yet how many people around the world today miss the blessing of Jesus because they have their own gods? And you can think globally for a moment and think about all the world religions, and If you look into them and study them much, you see that many of them have so many false gods that it's confusing and it's hard to even define some of these religions. And because they're steeped in this worship of these false gods and all this idolatry, they're missing the blessing of Christ unless they hear the gospel and respond to it. But folks, it's not just world religions that prevent others from seeing Jesus. Idolatry is rampant even in our own nation. So many miss the blessing of Christ because they're worshiping idols. Something else has taken God's place. An idol is anything, it can be a thing, a person, or even a desire that will prevent one from coming to know God and to obey Him. Colossians 3:5 is an example. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, this desire for more, this greed, which is, Paul says, idolatry. It's idolatry. This desire for more is idolatry. People are putting their hope and their trust and their focus and their worshiping more, the God called more. And it keeps them from having the greatest blessing of all through Christ. James Packer writes, "What other gods could we have besides the Lord? Plenty. For Israel, there were the Canaanite Baals, those jolly nature gods whose worship was a rampage of gluttony, drunkenness, and ritual prostitution. For us, there are still the great gods, sex, shekels, and stomach, an unholy trinity constituting one God, self, and the other enslaving trio, pleasure, possessions, and position, whose worship is described as the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life." He goes on to say, "Football, the firm, and the family are also gods for some. Indeed, the list of other gods is endless, for anything that anyone allows to run his life becomes his god, and the claimants for this prerogative are legion. In the matter of life's basic loyalty, temptation is a many-headed monster." There are so many false gods. There are so many idols that prevent people from seeing Jesus, and they miss out on the greatest blessing of all. One other person this morning, I'd like for us to continue the study tonight, and that is Herod the King. Herod the King. We read about him in Matthew chapter 2. He's believed by many scholars to be one of the most wicked men who ever lived. Historians tell us, in fact, that Herod had 10 wives. He killed one of his wives, her mother, and all of his children. A very wicked man. When he was about to die, he had all of his men go out and gather all of the notable people of the day and put them into prison. Why? He knew he was about to die. And he also knew, as he said, "The people will not cry for me. They hate me. They will not weep because of my death. But when all those notable citizens are killed, there will be weeping when I am dead." Out of his loyalty to the Roman Empire and perhaps his political maneuvering, he'd become very popular with the Roman hierarchy because of his willingness to work with them. He was called King of the Jews. And we'll see he missed the blessing of Christ because he wanted to stay in control. Listen to Matthew chapter 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." If he was, in fact, Herod, that is, called king of the Jews, you can imagine his uneasiness when he hears about these wise men from the east that have come following the star, looking for the one who was born king of the Jews. And all Herod is hearing here is, somebody's going to replace me. So he is anxiously inquiring as to who this is. Where can this baby born king of the Jews be found? And so he meets with the wise men and tells them, when you have found him, come and get me so I can go and worship him. And you know that was not his motive at all. In fact, when the wise men did not come back and tell him the whereabouts of this newborn baby, he had all the babies 2 years old and under killed in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. Listen to Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Matthew 2:17 says, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Can you imagine? The parents weeping for their children. Herod was a very evil man. A very evil man. And the reason he missed the blessing of Jesus, he didn't want to relinquish control. He viewed this news of this baby born to be king of the Jews as a threat to his control. And so he made that evil choice. If I can't find out exactly who he is, I'm going to have all the babies killed. But folks, there are many today missing the blessing of Jesus for the same reason. Because many don't want to relinquish control over their lives. They want to rule their own lives. They want to do their own thing, go their own way. They don't want anyone to be Lord over their lives. Peter Forsyth wrote, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Who's going to be my master? Many would answer that question, I am. But you can see how that goes right against the lordship of Jesus. One of my favorite illustrations I want to remind you of concerning this idea is the time when the captain of the ship looked into the dark night and he saw some faint lights in the distance, and immediately he told his signal man to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a return message was received, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered, his command had been ignored, so he sent a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south, I am the captain. Another message was received, alter your course 10 degrees north, I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would invoke, alter your course 10 degrees south, I am a battleship. Of course you can't see the emphasis in those lights. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north, I am a lighthouse. But in that illustration, we may see ourselves. I'm the commander of my ship. I'm going to go where I want to go. Folks, that attitude leads to things like Herod did. Not only is your own life destroyed, it destroys the lives of many others. It's a crash course. But Jesus, the light of the world, says, alter your course and follow me, and you'll no longer walk in darkness. But in order to do that, we have to submit to his lordship. Herod wasn't willing to. He wanted to be in control. And he missed the blessing of Christ. Let's not be guilty of the same. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he also said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things which I say. Folks, the fact is, either Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Are you willing to make him your Lord, your master, your ruler? If you are, then he can be your Savior. What about you and me this morning? Have we missed the blessing of Christ? Have we been preoccupied with the things of this world? Have we been so selfish and so arrogant that we've determined it's not anybody's will but mine that's to be done? Or have we missed out on the blessing of Jesus because our focus and even our worship has been on something else? Don't miss out on the blessing. Surrender your life in obedience to the good news of Jesus. Allow him to be your Savior and your Lord. It may be that there are one or more that's ready to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer this morning. We hope and pray that if you're ready to make those steps, that you'll do so even this morning. If you need the prayers of the church to help you get back on track of following him faithfully, let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?